All right, we're going to go ahead and start our board meeting tonight. We are meeting tonight at the district office for our regular meeting. We've got our superintendent, Marshall Garrett, here, our business administrator, Zane Wilson-Hume, board members Lynn Hobbs, Connie Morgan, Ann Gary, Jim Blair, and Christy Cooley present today. It's now 5:02 starting, and we are grateful that we have members of our audience, parents, students, administration, and staff, and our press. So welcome. Thank you very much for supporting our board meeting tonight. And we're going to start with our opening ceremony by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. If you all just stand and say that with me, that'd be great.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And to continue our opening ceremony, we have a special treat. We have three students coming from Bridger. They came and did, when we were at the school visit, we were fortunate enough to hear their essays that they presented about Leader in Me. So we're grateful for their parents and their grandparents for bringing them here today to our board meeting and their family members. So we're going to start that with Kylie Hansen. She's in fifth grade, and we'll have her tell her which teacher she has when she comes up. So Kylie.
They're not in pajamas, Jeff.
What is a leader? A leader is someone who does the right thing all the time, even when no one is looking, and they say no to drugs and other inferior things. They have a hero paradigm and always have a good attitude. They plan ahead and look for ways to be a good person. A leader helps others and stands up for what they believe is right. They try to balance their lives and eat right, exercise, and get enough sleep. They spend time on the most important things that need to be done. They learn in many ways and places and make sure they spend time with family and friends. I want to be a leader, and I know I can. We can all be leaders.
Okay, Kylie, do you mind standing, please, and telling us who you brought with you tonight? Very nice. Thank you very much for bringing her tonight. That was fantastic. And Kylie told me a great thing about our boardroom tonight. We have 83 chairs in here tonight, so we never knew that before tonight. So thank you for that valuable piece of information. We filled them 4 times. So really good. We wish we fill them all the time. So thank you, Kylie. That was fantastic. We think you're going to be a fantastic leader. Now we're going to have Lily Morrison. Lily. She's also in fifth grade at Bridger.
Proactive leader in me. When I think of the word proactive, I think of on task or doing what you are needed to do. Being proactive is one of my favorite habits. We have studied a lot about it. That is probably the most important to me. I love the 7 habits because it makes the school a better place. I think the teachers love it when we are proactive. The 7 habits makes you want to be at school more. I know I want to be at school more now. I love the leader in me program. For example, if I am proactive, I am being a good student and kid. For example, if my little brother was not being treated right, I could go help him. My class is being a lot more proactive now that we have learned about the 7 habits.
Fantastic, Lily. And can you tell us who you brought with you tonight? Very nice. And what's their names?
My grandma Morrison. And her first name is Holly. And my grandpa.
Very nice. And I met Mrs. Morrison. She's a teacher at Greenville in the county. So thank you for coming to our board meeting and supporting your daughter, or your granddaughter. Sorry about that. What an awesome leader she will be as well. And we look forward to you as you go forward in the future. All right. And third and finally, we have do I say it, Tayshia? Tayshia? What's your last name, Tayshia?
Garcia.
Can you come up, please?
And turn her so they can see.
The habit Begin With The End In Mind has helped me immensely this year. It helped me when my school had a fundraiser for an orphan boy with Down syndrome. I wanted to give money in the end because I knew it would help. So I did a lemonade stand. I wanted it to be very successful, so I got cups, lemonade, and an artistic-looking sign. But if I didn't have all those things, no one would come and it would be a disaster. I successfully had a great lemonade stand, and I raised $20 for my school. I hope to do other lemonade stands for many causes. I believe we can all also use this habit. It is a wonderful habit. It will help you in life a lot. Thank you.
Am I saying your name correctly? Is it Tayshia? Very nice, Tayshia. And who did you bring with you tonight?
I brought my sister and my nephew.
Very nice. Thank you very much for coming tonight. And Tayshia, let us know when you have your next lemonade stand, and we'll all stop by and support that. How's that? And we look forward to you also being a fantastic leader. What a great program we have at Bridger doing Leader in Me, and we're grateful for. Mrs. Farmer, are those... Oh, we have more one? Oh, one more. Oh, Zoe. Thank you very much. I would hate to have missed Zoe. Zoe, what's your last name? Oh, please come up. You up? Perfect. Yeah.
Habit 4, think win-win. Think win-win means for us. If you succeed and I fail, it would be win-lose. But if we both succeed, it would be win-win. I think win-win is like the golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated. I think it's like the golden rule because you treat others you treat other people win-win if you do that, you'll be treated the same. People argue that it should be win-lose because they want to be winners. But I think otherwise, I think everybody deserves to be a winner. How do I use it? Well, if there is a problem, then I'd be seeking for win-win. For example, if both me and my brother wanted to play on the computer each an hour, we'd both have to leave in an hour. One of us playing the hour would be win-lose. Instead, we'd play 30 minutes, so it would be win-win.
Very nice. Thank you, Zoe. What did you say your last name was?
Lupita.
Very nice. And who did you bring with you tonight? Oh, very nice. Thank you all for coming and supporting you. And my favorite thing, Zoe, about yours was your comment that everyone deserves to be a winner. And that is so true, that we all deserve to be winners. So thank you for reminding the board members about that, because that's something that we need to think about too. So we look forward to your future and to see how amazing your leadership will be as you go forward. So thank you all, parents and your grandparents, for bringing those students here tonight to enrich our board meeting. One more time, round of applause. And thank you, Principal Grunig, for bringing them as well. We're grateful for that program at Bridger, like I said, and we look forward to seeing how that affects student achievement and learning in the future. So thank you very much. You're welcome to stay for our board meeting if you want to, or you can go. All right. Thank you very much. What an awesome thing that is today. All right. We're going to have public comment. Do we have any public comment tonight? Oh, Stacy's looking. Oh, no public comment. All right. We are going to have our reports tonight. We will start with a report from our education support professionals, Elsa Aquina, since you're the only one I see here right now. It's kind of a scant meeting.
Okay, we're had our first meetings and everything, so we're excited about some of the things that we're proposing and going to work with superintendent on that. Couple of things. The sick leave bank, we had actually 46 out of 130-something employees that actually get sick leave, apply and donate time to the sick leave bank. And then we have another handful that for some reason regardless of the reminders, it just went over their head, and the day after they remembered, which was too late. So they're already planning on signing for next year. So I think that's been very successful, especially amongst the support professionals. And then we are trying to increase our membership, so we've started billing reps and stuff. We're going to start a more aggressive type membership drive to see if we can get more participation. And celebration time, we have Education Support Professional Day coming up on November 20th. So we're all going to take a day off. I'm just kidding.
We are going to celebrate that.
I volunteered to take your job that day, but I can't do what you do.
No. Dude, just come in your pajamas. It's the easiest job in the district.
You keep the school running. So.
Yeah, right.
Did you say November 10th?
November 20th.
Oh, 20th. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
10 days off.
Very good.
Yeah. We'll celebrate both days, too.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you, Elsie.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate all you do, and thank you for coming to board meeting, and we look forward to you coming back in December.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost.
We're not meeting.
November.
Yes. Wait, we do it.
The November.
Oh, November. We'll see you whenever you come again, Elsa. Thank you very much. I don't know. I'm confused today. All right. So we are grateful for our education support professionals. We couldn't function without them, so we're grateful. I'd like to excuse our Parent Teacher Association President Jennifer Bishop. She's unable to be with us tonight. And I'm assuming that I will excuse
Alma
and Eric from the Logan Education. District Administrator Association and the Logan Education Association. All right. Now we're going to go into our consent calendar, which is action on minutes dated September 24th and October 8th, expenditures and receipts, personnel, extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel, homeschool applications, school improvement plans, and architect contract for Logan High School renovation project. I need a motion.
I move that we pass the consent calendar.
Okay, it's been moved by Connie Morgan. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Ann Geary. Any questions or concerns or comments about the consent calendar? All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, motion passes. Action item, which is action on the Memorandum of Understanding regarding School Resource Officers, and we will have a presentation by our Business Administrator, Zane.
Have you had a chance to look at this?
Yes.
Mike. Zane, your mic.
Do you have any questions? What, do you remember, Superintendent? This is going to cost us more than it has in the past.
Since I've been here, we've not had a... the last contract, I believe, was written was either right prior or right when I came very close. It was with the former chief. The amount that we've been paying, which has been $50,000, has stayed stagnant all that time. And as we met with the chief, we wanted to ensure that we looked at overall costs, that they have added time with us over that time. Mm-hmm. We've required more time in terms of our ball games and things like that. And so we're trying to come up with a balance. We looked at some other districts and what they were doing. I looked at the county and what they're doing with the sheriff's office, and we're able to then come up with not only a dollar figure but also the expectations on both sides, and that has gone back between the lawyers on both the districts as well as the city, and to come to the resolution that is now before you.
So if you go to page 8 of the agreement, you can see that we're looking at $65,000 for the current school year and about $80,000 for 2014-15, $85,800 2015-16. And it goes up to $88,374 for the next year and $91,025 for the 2017-18 school year. So this effectively it's a 5-year agreement.
How many resource officers do we currently have in our district?
We currently have one who's the DARE officer.
Right.
We have one at the middle school, one at the high school.
And then additional officers as needed.
And then their sergeant.
Okay.
Who's over them for the portion of time that he's with the Logan City. Obviously, they have, fast forward, they have an officer mm-hmm. there and one at BATC. So the time, though, that that sergeant is working, and they're very hands-on. And so as that portion of the overall cost is in there.
Is there only presence in the elementary schools with the DARE program?
Yes.
And that they are dropping by more frequently than previously.
The entire police force is dropping by, and at any time that there's a situation at the elementary
right.
level,
yes.
the DARE officer, Jonathan Gleisberg, is going and right. so he's spending the time he is in the classroom and DARE. I would probably say he's doubling that in working with principals specifically on concerns within there. So he's constantly
right.
within our buildings.
So we're still getting a really, really good deal.
An amazing deal.
To have
deal.
Those officers. And I like that they're Logan City police officers, not like Jordan School District that has their own officers. I think it's good for our students to know that the officers are their friends. They can go with them with issues. And I just think it's a really great program all the way around.
It has. It's fortunate yes. that we have one entity to work with, and they have been very, very good. Mayor Watts has been supportive of the council has been very supportive of it, and working with Chief Jensen so that we can have the best possible connection we have. And obviously, as you go to ball games, specifically football games, that's our biggest. They are there, and that time is included in this, as well as any other time that we have major activities where we would need to have control for crowds.
And Connie wrote it on, it is NOVA, not DARE now, right?
NOVA.
No, yes, NOVA.
It is NOVA.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I meant to say NOVA.
It's really interesting if you read the whole contract, all the different things that they do, you know.
Yeah.
And
the costs of an officer. I mean, I think the reality was, for me, was this community has been voted the safest or within the top five safest communities for the time that I've been here since 2006. This public needs to be very proud of the fact that we have a strong police force, but it costs a lot to arm them, to man them, to make sure that they have what the training is necessary in order to keep this community safe.
All right. I need a motion then to take action on the Memorandum of Understanding regarding school resource officers.
Also move.
I second.
Okay, motion's been made by Lynn Hobbs, seconded by Connie Morgan. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Thank you very much.
I think that's a good thing to review, at least. Yep. It seems like it's long overdue. All right, now we're going to have action on our school trust land plans. Superintendent.
Information starting, I don't have a page number. Page 104, at least on mine, the action on land trust changes. A couple of things are involved in this. The law has been clarified for the responsibility of the board to make approvals of all recommended changes to land trust plans. In the past, that's been done through my office, and as we've done that, it's been somewhat seamless. And then once I've approved, they have then gone into the land trust site and done the changes on there. With the addition of the board, it's a new process this year. Up to this point, we were not made aware of it until September, so a lot of the things that they had done up to that point had been approved by myself. So what you have here is, we're requesting tonight is an approval of all those things that we have done up to this point for the land trust changes, and that's including the amounts on the budget that we had when this was submitted. Since that time, we have the new budget, so they're finalized, but that will go under the new process of approvals. Nothing can be done with hiring of anybody or expending any funds at this point until after they are approved by the board. So it will be part of consent calendar process of which, you know, there'll be explanation as to what it is. What you're seeing here on the trust land budgets and staff worksheets, you will have on each one what has been approved. You've seen what I have approved. That will continue then with any approvals you do tonight. That will say approved by the Board of Education. This is their worksheet to me to determine that there is a change. With this, they also have to share with me their community council minutes that show the motion and the vote on anything. So there would be, unless I get that, it does not come to the board for approval. So I've talked with them, all the principals, that they're going to need to plan. They can't just decide, oh, this needs to be done today and I need to hire on Thursday. They've got to plan a month in advance, so they have to know when their votes are at the building level, knowing when our dates are here, and we require them to get everything in the Wednesday prior to a board meeting. So that process then, once that's approved, then that Wednesday after our board meeting, then they would be given the green light to either do the expenditures in non-personnel areas or the hiring in the personnel.
Marshall, can I ask a question? Who initiated this change and what is the rationale? Because when I read this, it's like the rationale is because there's more money available?
It was just as they cleaned up. We've had changes in the land trust process now every single year for the last five years. This last one was a promise that this was going to be the last time that they did it for a while. And one of those bullet points that I missed, was not seen, and wasn't clarified until September, was the board approval of all plans. You've initially done an initial plan,
yeah.
But they changed that to not just the initial plan, but also any changes. So it's a little bit of a switch. And so any changes that they have now must be prior approved by this board prior to them being able to expand. So
for example, they decide to do three AmeriCorps people because they get the funding somewhere else, that would have to come through us before that third person could be hired.
Correct.
Any changes like that?
We will be seeing this next month. There will be the opportunity for the board, for the community council to look at their fund balances have been given for fiscal year 13, as well as the reallocation of funding because of the October 1 count. So with those two considerations, there are changes that will have to then be approved. They then have to go through and make a determination of money that they haven't expended and what that plan is going to be. The other thing that we have is that from our carryovers, each of the schools were above their 10% in carryovers. The state really encourages them to keep within, you know, below. And so I have directed all of the schools that this year they have got to get all of their money from this year expended and their carryovers so that when at the end of fiscal year 14, they are below their 10%. Majority of them, as you know, go through and it is a personnel situation. So what you're doing tonight is approving all the things that have happened up to this point with funding sources, and then you will start seeing in November pre-approvals by this board. What I will have on that is it will be done in blue. Any changes will be done in, or proposed changes would be in blue, and that would be what you would be approving from that point on.
But in order for us to know what the difference is, will we have to have pulled up the old trust land amount? So if there's a change in aids, we will have the old amount
you'll have exact,
and then the new
you'll
amount.
Have a, what you'll have down here in blue would be the additional. There would be a change, you know, because you have the carryover allocation and budget are all going to be set. Then you'll have, if there's a change in salaries, the amount that they want to put into salaries, you will see what that new amount is.
But will it have the old amount on there as well?
I was not planning on that, no. I was
so just
looking at the
That's what
the
I'm saying.
Amount.
So if we want to see what the increase is,
you would
have
to look at
the old.
You know what would be great if we had something that would explain that whoever's submitting the change would a brief explanation of this change is
well
such,
and that's
that,
and they
so
are
that
and that will be on the
thing.
Side there will be more detail on the side to the right of why the change and what they're planning for.
Okay, that's what we would like.
Or maybe it could be like an increase of $500 on the side that says this is an increase. Just like, I guess unless we want to go back and look at the old ones. I guess maybe it might.
Well, needed for increase.
Bottom line is for them is to make sure that they keep within their amounts.
Right.
That's what you're mainly looking at. In terms of where they're putting it, it is more of an informational.
Is this your spreadsheet?
This is our spreadsheet, yes.
I mean, so you can tweak
things. We can tweak things, yes.
Okay.
But I'm trying to keep it so that it's simplified on their end to be able to do the paperwork. It's not an overburden for you, and it's also not an overburden for us because they're then going to, after this approval, they have to go into a whole other set of things to put it into the land trust website.
So do we have to approve it retroactive, or do we...
You're retroactively tonight for everything you're seeing here.
Because since it's already been passed, though, couldn't we just approve the future?
No, because from this point on, any changes from October 23rd on, it will come to you first, it'll be approved, and then they will be able to expend their funds.
But tonight we can make a motion on this, correct?
Yes, I need a motion on this tonight. So that all expenditures up to this point have board approval.
I do so move. All right.
I'll second that.
Perfect.
Jim's phrase.
We have action to approve the school land trust plan changes. Motion made by Connie, seconded by Jim Blair. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, very good.
And just a point on that, I liked the way Logan Heights was done in red. That was really easy to see what the changes were. So if we do it like that, that's great.
Right.
So
what I've proposed on that is it will be a different color. Right now I've done all the changes in blue so that I know that from this point on that's a new color, meaning we're under the new rules.
Okay.
So it will be there. It will be designed.
It's very nice because you looked at that and you knew what was totally different. Now, on some of those others, if they increased amounts, that was harder.
And actually, on Logan High's, that red is something I have not approved yet. So theirs was a combination. It came in from the time that I'd done all the others and tonight's meeting. So that's the first new stuff that we have been able to approve.
Okay, that's great. If it's done like that, that's really nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. All right. Now we are, and I forgot to let board members know that we have to leave here at 6:45 to head to the high school. Mm-hmm. Does that give us enough time to be over there?
As soon as we can.
So between 6:40 and 6:45. So we'll wrap it up before then. We're going to now have discussion on enrollment data.
Okay. Our October 1 counts, when we first sent out the materials because of the break, fall break, we have not had them finalized, and they were actually not finalized until this morning at about 10:30. So we did reissue. Was it yesterday or today that we was it yesterday?
Yeah. It came this morning.
This morning we reissued the board book. If you go to the bottom after all of the matrix is on page 100 and...
We're getting down to 150 or so.
160. Aha. Starting on about 170. Page 170. You'll find what the final October 1 counts are for each of the schools, as well as a comparison of what they were last year. So for each school, you have this year's and last year's. If you'll go down under that to page 10 out of 11, you'll see that the overall district. Currently, we had on record on October 1, 5987. That is down a little over a percent from where we were last year. We were at 60.63 last year, and that includes all our special ed students. So when we're looking at these, we're looking at totals. So we've been flat and low over the last couple of years. We're still higher than we were in 2008, but we've just been at that range where we're just not really growing, not really losing, we're just kind of stagnant. Most of the our elementary numbers are pretty much the same as they were last year. Our secondary are the ones where you see the most loss, mostly at the high school, and that's about around 50, 45 or 50. So you can see, you know, again, we're one of those challenge districts where we're not really a growing district. We don't have some of the luxuries that a growing district has when it comes to budgetary situations. That's where our challenge comes in, being a district that is basically stagnant right now within our overall numbers. Still, our strong numbers, they're not drastically going down. Our elementaries, there were some changes because of the dual immersion. You see that both Hillcrest and Bridger increased where there was a slight decrease at Ellis and at Wilson. Any questions as you look through the numbers or anything that you'd like me to?
Well, I'm surprised after we've, you know, as I talked to Christian, I talked for a bit, you know, after tearing down close to 30 homes in the city in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. 7-8 months. It's a surprise that we're only down that much.
Plus the 16 that they did when they did
that's
the 10th
true.
West.
Woodruff.
You know, over the last 2 years, yeah. We've had a net loss in homes than we have had in gains. We are seeing a little bit of building over on the west side, the southwest side. There are five in my neighborhood that are houses that are being constructed or in some phase of construction. They are looking at adding another section to the homes that are off of 1000 South, and which is good. That's really the only areas of growth right now.
Do you know what the property on 10th North, up around probably between 2nd and 4th East, what's that been zoned? Do we know?
Amber, do you know that?
Yes,
she's here. She's at Planning and Zoning, Logan City.
Yeah. It's a single family zone. There was a proposal to rezone about an acre of it, but that didn't pass. But the developer's proposing retirement community, single family housing, about 40.
Doesn't help us.
That's a 4th East, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right at 4th East and 10th North. It's about 7 acres or so, but he's proposing a retirement community, 55 and older courtyard development.
No kids.
Yeah, so that it hasn't, the subdivision hasn't gone through yet. It'll probably, Planning Commission will be looking at it probably in November, the November meeting.
Do you know the status of the proposed subdivision that is just west of what would have been about 4th South, you know, behind Oak Brook area? There was an additional subdivision that had been approved about 5 years ago, right before the economy tanked, and I haven't heard anything on that. It's about 20 acres.
4th South and...
And about, it's west of 10th West, so 12th West.
Okay, it's... I think it's called Amber Fields out there. Yeah. It's been... They're looking at bringing it back, and it's single family, but we haven't had anything for sure come in. But there actually has been some discussion and plat movement on the plat.
Okay, then the big question is, I believe the Planning Commission had the Northwest out by the, what was approved there? Was that approved, or was that just preliminary thing?
That was the preliminary plat approval for a first phase out there. There's a project a couple years, they called the Promenade, like 25th North and like 17th West, like about 20-something West out there. That's a couple hundred lots.
But nothing's happening on that.
Yeah, a new group is looking to buy it, and they did propose a phase, and it was about 40 lots, but they have a lot of, obviously, infrastructure. There's about a mile gap between where it ends and where it goes out.
Karchner,
so that's
I think it's Karchner Homes.
And so that would be single-family homes.
But
yeah,
correct. They are in the county.
They are, for sure.
They're in the county.
It's
even
in
though it's
Logan City.
City
it's in Logan City boundaries, but it's within the it's in the Cache County School District.
Yeah, it's adjacent to...
It's one of those.
Benson.
Yeah. Okay. That land was annexed after 1998. There is a parcel to the west of that was annexed before 1998, so actually our boundaries are not contiguous anymore.
Because of the North Logan and Land Exchange, yeah.
So it's...
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Thank you. That was good to have information.
So any questions, any other questions on enrollment?
I have one, and that is why we don't ever have any numbers on our pre-kindergarten numbers, because we do have some pre-kindergarten, especially the special ed children.
If you look, there is...
There's a pre-kindergarten.
Pre-kindergarten does not count lists. On October 1 counts.
Okay.
That's the main reason. But you all do right. have...
There's one that says 7 and 90.
But yeah. if you look at the Logan City on page 10 out of 11, which is on page 179, you'll see that there are 90 special ed kids and there are 7 regular, which means those are by tuition. So okay. there are 97 as of October 1. But they do not count towards the 5987.
Okay.
They're separate because they're outside of the K-12 funding source.
And does this data give us how many we have coming in school choice?
This data does not show school choice.
Coming in.
We had, when we looked, we had 150 students.
And how many are going out?
If it's anything like it was last year, I don't have that data. I haven't looked, but the last couple of years we've had 800 kids going out to charters.
Okay, to charters.
Yeah. But if you're looking at all, we've...
But we don't know how many are just going to Cache County schools.
No. That data, until the state gives it to us, we don't have any way of tracking that.
We actually just figured out.
Same. Pull your mic down.
Start.
Thank you.
We just figured out how to start flagging the kids in SIS that are here that live outside of the district. So we've got, you know, the 150 I mentioned includes about a half a dozen kids from Box Elder School District.
Hmm.
So, but we actually figured out what we need to do to flag those so we can track it now. We used to say we had 300 kids doing school choice, but half of those were just kids within Logan going to other schools in Logan.
So they really were school choice, but not coming in.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
So they're all being kept on the same Excel spreadsheet, and so we've just in the last few weeks got that straightened out.
Do we have a way to track students from within the district who are doing school choice then still?
Yes.
Yeah, they only because they have to get that approved. So we keep track of that on an independent Excel spreadsheet. But the other thing is actually an SIS tracked thing.
And Marcy has instituted a process of getting in touch with families that we know are outside of the district that have not. We don't have appropriate paperwork for school choice, and in all settings. So we're trying to get that under control and really making sure that from this point on that we have that paperwork, it's available, and we have a lot more.
Yeah. And that flagging SIS that tracks the kids, it's an optional one, and so most districts don't pay attention to that, but that's something we've decided we want to know. So
right.
That department now is in, they're geared up to track that.
Wonderful.
Marcy and Holly are doing a good job on it.
Very nice. Any other questions about enrollment? Okay, that doesn't need any action, so we'll just move on to our next discussion, which is on our vision statement, and that'll be Jim Blair and Superintendent.
So Jim, you're the one who provided this, so if you wanted to walk through.
This is just a rough, what I did is I went to the Chapter 3, and I took what they had there in the gray section that seemed to somewhat fit our tracks concept and borrowed their statement that Logan City School believes that the most promising strategy for achieving our mission is for the district to function as a professional learning community. I don't know that that's what we believe. That's what they believe. I think that's what we believe, but I'm not sure that's what we want to say, so I just put that down. And then I took the next sentence, the district envisions a school system which the board, administration, faculty, and staff will follow tracks. And then I just arbitrarily made a statement rather than just a single word to try to clarify, but did not include the whole vision statement since that's too much. So that's where we are, and you can throw it all out, use part of it, use none of it, whatever. It's just an idea.
Jim, do we want to discuss this now, or do we do it at a work session, or
well,
what?
Now. It's a discussion item.
Now? It's a discussion item, yep.
Okay. When I was reading through them, I first of all really liked the idea that you started each sentence with the tracks, so it reads that way. My only concern was that, you know, there are a lot of words that can be left out or some words that can be changed to make it read more smoothly.
Absolutely.
Just for, like, one example would be resources I read them over here. Hold on. Safety provided, not is, just safety provided. And communication, what resources provided.
So instead of our use to provide.
Well, I had it here. Wait just a second. Okay. Resources provided to reach and challenge every student.
Sure.
You know, to write it that way. And I changed each one of them. I don't know if you want to hear them or not.
Well,
I thought, too, on the third one, we could just leave out and achievement is high where world-class opportunities are provided in the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think and could be taken out. I just thought of that. But
right.
I like them.
Achievement is high where we're, okay, right. Mm-hmm. You can take out the and. And the other one,
I think they're two different thoughts, though, aren't they, though? The one thought is achievement is high,
right,
and world-class opportunities.
Right.
You mm-hmm. could take out the where. Achievement is high, and world-class opportunities are provided
That's
in facilities.
What I crossed out the
that
where.
Allow 21st century learning because they are two different things. So we need the conjunction, but we can take out the where.
And I also had one more thing on there. I took out the where. It says achievement is high, and world-class opportunities are provided. Are provided to allow, just period, provided to allow 21st century learning. I don't know. Do we need facilities?
What I would suggest you do is send me those suggestions.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
By email.
Okay.
And I can tweak this again.
I think we do need to have the word facilities, though, because that was in our original statements.
Yes.
We've got to make sure that our what counts statements,
those
keywords are there.
Out of the what.
So facilities was part of that.
So if you send me your comments,
Okay.
If you have some that you would like,
because for each of them, right, there is like several ways that you could write it, and then we could present those and discuss them.
Send me those changes, and I'll wordsmith it again and send it out to you, and we can then look at. I mean, this is draft one.
Okay.
Maybe draft two.
Okay.
I have a question on it.
Right.
As I have looked at training.
Right.
I have felt like training was not just teachers and administrators.
Students.
That it's also we're training or teaching students as well. It's not referred to students at all.
Right.
Don't we need the students? Because isn't that what we are about is students learning?
Sure. So send it to me.
I haven't wordsmithed. I just read through and thought, I think we're missing students there.
That's great.
So I will send...
Just send concepts.
Training is students.
Okay.
Because when I was reading it, it was like, if it didn't include students, then you would want it to be training to ensure that teachers and administrators are highly qualified experts. So I really like the way that sounds. Where, you know... How would we... back and forth,
What you do is send me the suggestions. I'll bring out another edition.
You've only said it three times, I know.
And that's fine.
Well, and my feeling is if the training isn't about students, then T should not be the first one because the training of students needs to be number one.
Okay. The only other thing you could do, Anna, is just like if you don't want to do the TRACS, what you can do is you just use that action word at the beginning, provide, you know, it's you could do all that. But I like the idea that it starts out with that it's tracks because it's clever, but trying to word everything by using TRAC becomes a little complicated. Yes.
All of us need to play with it, but I also think we need to look back at...
But remember what Belief 2 was saying. This is what Belief 2 said, is we believe that the school district must be staffed with teachers and administrators who are highly qualified and experts in implementing research-based instruction, meaningful curriculum, and assessing students in a reliable and valid manner.
So it's different
than the
students.
But it is instruction. So do we have teaching of students, but that refers to teaching of students.
Well, this is all about students.
Belief 3...
Everything's based on
students. Well, number one,
but we don't refer to students at all in this track.
Yeah, it's...
Well, we have them...
every student is reached and challenged, but that's just about research.
We don't have them in T, we have
but
them in
not,
R.
They're not listed in the original belief statements.
And it needs to be in communication and in saving.
Belief 3 is in a culture of excellence in which expectations for student achievement is high and where there are world-class opportunities provided by which excellence and improvement can be demonstrated.
So that is the student one.
And if you look at number 5, which is we believe that education needs to be focused on individual students as much as possible and that appropriate learning avenues are provided, are proved to reach and are provide. I think that's provided to reach and challenge all learners, including gifted and talent, special ed, and students from different
cultural
backgrounds.
And we have to remember, the tracks is meant for us to refer back.
Sure. Right, and that's why these need to be important.
Right.
But I will do some wordsmithing to see if we can have the emphasis about students, because we've all talked about that is what our emphasis is as student learning.
And maybe that goes more.
Maybe that goes in that first paragraph up ahead rather than
try to put it into here. I don't care.
Okay. Well, that was my only thing is that I want to make sure we.
Sure, I borrowed that statement from them because I thought that was...
Yes,
But that may not be our statement.
Belief 5, I mean, we spent a lot of time on Belief 5, if you remember, in terms of what needed to be said, and we wordsmithed that one probably
forever.
More so than we did the others, besides, I think the community communication one. So I don't want to lose the richness that discussion had, and those words in Belief 5 were specifically written so that
we
could get that
every single one of the statements. We worked carefully to get, and that's why I want to try to make this focused, but with the intent being always to say, well, these are the belief statements below. So
this is only a
reference, like a
snapshot,
like a table of contents, but you're going to the actual.
It's the executive summary.
So we need to capture that. So all of us need to go back to our belief statements and this, and we need to do anything we want and get it to you by what date? Because I need to have a deadline, or I won't.
Well, we have. We need to get it to him by, I would say, November the 4th.
Before the work
so
session.
So that we would then have...
things to work, okay.
We would need everything in...
December, though.
We would want to work on it with a work session. Do you want to work... I guess that's the question. Do you want to work on this in our November work session?
I would like...
You know, Jim, one thing to think about is that in that opening statement, you know... the word students can be included somewhere in there so that we don't have to use the word student in every single one of these because the, you know, highly effective experts and everything applies, you know, are needed by the students. So maybe that could be there because I think that these things right here just need to be short and sweet, like you've tried, yeah.
So
November 4th, and that way we'll have
I'm putting
that
it needs to be turned in 1 week before the November meeting because...
Well, the reason he would need to have it before then because we need it a week before.
Right.
So that's why I was saying at least on the Monday, give him until Wednesday. Would that be too hard for you to have it?
November 4th.
Okay. Right? You have Tuesday out. Do we want to have it due next Friday?
Whenever you want to turn it
Why don't we say next Friday?
Okay, and what's the date of that?
November 1st.
My job was not time intensive. Mine is simply figuring out how to restate this in a way that's closer to what we want to say.
And somebody has to do the writing of it.
So I do the writing, and then you guys get the plan.
And then are you going to spend your weekend going over this?
Mm-hmm. No. No. I'll give this minimal thought.
But your work has been excellent. Yes. You've got to have something.
We're excited.
To be
yes.
able to
no,
work.
You have to have yeah. something to start.
It's really nice.
Place,
and it's
and you get to the yeah. next place, and then you get to the place you all feel comfortable. That's the goal.
And it's well enough put together that it's easy to go in and make
well,
some
nice
changes.
To have a template
thank you.
To look at mm-hmm. and to be able to merge yes. it to what we think.
Which came out of our book that we've sure. been studying.
That's right.
Very
so
good.
All of this has been
it's all working.
Productive.
Thank you. I like it. I'm excited. But are we going to eventually have something?
If yes. we do this, we could pass it in our by our. If things work well on the 12th, we could pass it by the 26th of November or on the December.
But are we going? But are we going to have some like a one line so that we can change our stationary talk?
That's the mission that we have
yes.
to review.
Well, we'll have to decide.
Once we have this, then we can then
we
start looking at
it. Collapse it down to a sentence.
Collapse it down to a sentence. That's what I was asking. So mm-hmm. this is our next step, and then we collapse it down to our, what is it, our call tag.
Gotcha.
Okay. Our vision, our mission, or whatever.
Model or whatever. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for your work. I think it's we're on the right track. To get there.
Tracks.
Tracks.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Tracks. So
I didn't want to sound funny.
And I will track to see that we stay on track.
All right. We're moving right along. All right. Now we're going to do reports from our board members. We're going to start with Lynn Hobbs.
Well, I guess Christy and I attended the regional meetings. There wasn't very many there this time. It was probably the... Is there 10 at the most? I think of people that were, there was a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went it over. I think this is what we went over a lot. We got that, the legislative priorities and stuff. Went over a lot of things on that. I also, I guess like all of you, have attended the separate meetings we've had. And I watched that... when you asked us to watch that television with the superintendent and with the governor and stuff and watch that, there's a lot of things on there that was talked about that intrigued me, though. I know the governor's come out saying, you know, we could use more counselors, and then when it got to the end, I was a little concerned when he made the statement that if the counselors were being used solely for what they were instead of giving testing and all that, then we probably wouldn't need additional counselors. And that kind of, you know, it kind of set me off that you can say those things, but you really want them to have happen. And I was concerned about several things, but overall it was informative. I guess the question I had also, too, is to get 90% graduation requirements, and with the federal, the way that it is 90% going to be possible? I just wonder, are they going to keep the same regulations that we have now from the government on how to track that, or is that going to...
The challenge for us, well, we have we are still not a small school, but a child in our system, if they're not completing, is a higher percentage than it would be even at the county schools. I mean, when we have 400, between 350 to 400 who are graduating, and the non-completers, the list of those also includes, will always include under the new federal guidelines, our special needs students that are severe. No matter what, they don't count, and that's 23, last year was around 23 students. So when
almost
you start 10%. Looking at that, that's... That in and of itself is a high percentage. It's almost 8%.
Yeah.
So for us to get to that point is going to be a challenge. It's doable. You know, we will continue to work and strive for that. But it is. There's some things that are out of our control when you're in a transient school district. tried to find students when they have left and not knowing. They may have started with us as freshmen, and then we try to track, but if records are not coming, we don't have a lot of resources to be able to go out and find out where they've gone. And to do it right and to really glean that down so that we would know exactly where every child would be, I think it would be cost prohibitive for our district. I don't think we could afford to do it. We have a challenge with some of the federal expectations of tracking students after they leave us. We don't have a mechanism to know where all of the kids go after they leave us. That last day of graduation literally is a final day. And we don't have a connection. Yet they're wanting us to track and see that are they going on into to different areas. And so we've got a lot of challenges data-wise that we may not be able to overcome. The governor has discussed with the State Board of Education that do they need to look at a separate number in order to more accurately reflect who is graduating, that it would be different than the federal. In other words, adopting a different standard for the 90% than having the federal guidelines for completers, because it doesn't include any of our kids that do get a GED. They GEDs do not count, and we do have a few, not many, but they've chosen to go that route versus an adult ed diploma, but we can't count them. We've got students that are within a, luckily we do have now the September 30th deadline, so that if a student is close, we've got a few more months to work with them in order to get them over the bar, which is a plus that we've not had before. So there's some pluses on that, but it's still hard. We're at 79%. We don't know what this last year's calculations will come out to be. We should know here within the next 6 weeks.
What effect does homeschool kids have on that?
See, and that's the other. We had some homeschoolers who have sent their children. We've always been open to having families utilize us. And we had a couple of families that had some students who did not come to us but for a couple of periods. But because they're on our rolls.
And they don't graduate.
And they don't graduate from Logan High School. And yet one I know of is got a full ride scholarship to BYU, Idaho. But she's a non-completer. And she counts against us. And yet she was, you know, that it was a great experience for her. It was great for us to have her. And yet on the statistics, it's a negative. And I don't want to ever get to a position where we're denying students opportunities because of an artificial rate.
I think that's the thing that kind of frustrated me was, you know, you take those special needs kids that we know that they're not.
And they need to stay in till they're 22.
It's a difficult thing, you know. I thought, if there could be something on there, you know, I think if you could take probably those special need kids out that you know are not going to graduate on time and they can stay, you know, I think the 90% is probably attainable.
If we would be at least at an 85-86% if we were not looking at that. Now, the other challenge we have, which is not a bad challenge, but our numbers reflect students at South Campus because they are Logan High School students. The county has a separate facility with a separate accounting, and if you look at the percentages of the two high schools, they're pretty high. They're in the high 80s, but not with cash. If you put cash high into that mix, it goes down considerably. So our numbers are dealing with a different mix, which means we have to redouble our efforts to ensure that students that are struggling, that have chosen South Campus, to get as many of those kids past that bar as we possibly can within
the
4 years.
When the students in special ed, in high school, there's a plan, and on the IP, you have to write whether or not the intent is for graduation, is it for certificate of completion or whatever. And so then you make the plans for those next 4 years or beyond based upon that. And the legislature doesn't allow for a student who goes through 21 and, they can get a certificate of completion. They don't even allow them, you know, to have a to graduate. They're not allowed to graduate. You know, so damned if you do, damned if you don't, no matter what, pardon me, but whatever you do, the idea is those kids do need services until they're 21.
They
either need to count that they have completed, or else they just need to be totally taken off.
So the federal government is who we need to lobby on this.
Is it the federal government that requires that, or the state?
The current federal guidelines for counting completers and non-completers, which we then look at as graduates, and then non-graduates, is by those rules. And so, but what the governor could do is working so that we would have a definition that is more reflective of who we have in the pool that is actually graduating.
Yeah.
And for us 20 kids, it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got the IEP, which is a federal mandate.
Right.
And you follow the IEP, and they meet all of the goals for the IEP, and yet they don't count as anything.
Right.
Because they
don't.
It will
always be a non-completer.
So I've got one federal guideline saying this represents completion, and another federal guideline that says it does not. So you have a conflicting within the government itself that says yes, no.
Sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yes.
Lately.
In ninth grade, you actually, especially kids severely multiply handicapped, in ninth grade, you have to decide, you know, what plan that student is going on, and then you're responsible each year to provide coursework or whatever activities, whatever classes, whatever things they're involved with that aim for that. You know, to whatever kind of work or group home, so then a group home, self-help cares, or all of those kind of things. And you're responsible for doing it every single year. And so you do it, and then, well, too bad.
And it is a disservice to children to say graduate just so we have a number on one side and they don't receive the additional services that they truly need.
There was a big debate a while, you know, big debate maybe 10 years ago or more, where whether or not students who were in resource program, who took their, you know, English and math through the resource program, whether or not they should even be allowed to graduate, that they should have received a certificate of completion. And I hear from a few people now and then who bring that up again, and you go, oh my gosh, that would just absolutely kill graduation rates. That would be, you know, so this does too, though, especially with a large school district where you have so many. I think it's
Thank you for those. But we're continuing. I know the dialogue is going on between the State Board of Education and the Governor's Office as to how best to reflect that so that he is aware. And unfortunately, our biggest champion and understander of that was now former Lieutenant Governor Bell. And hopefully Lieutenant Governor Cox will get up to speed and become a very strong proponent for what needs to happen.
Okay.
All right, that's all? Okay, Connie.
I love the brochure. I got it in the mail today.
As did I. Mine came in the mail. I brought mine.
Yeah.
I brought mine.
Also, tell me, unless I'm not reading the newspaper or right or whatever, is I don't see a lot of negative things about Logan's bond and levy. I see a lot on cash. And then every now and then somebody says about the schools and maybe, you know, putting everybody together. But have you read a lot of negative stuff? I haven't. I'm just really pleased, and I don't know how we've accomplished that.
Well, my concern is nothing in there, a lack of interest and knowledge.
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern.
It's on Facebook, okay? You know, we get on Facebook. I really like that. I don't know if Todd did that or not, but getting that on Facebook and you put like or write comments, you know, and then you can send it off to a lot of people. You know, I like that. But, I was just wondering about the editorial.
That's the Facebook process is separate. It's the parent group that is can be promotional in their focus.
Okay.
Our process is informational, and that's what we're trying to keep to.
The only other question I have is, this regional board is in January, correct?
State.
This is the USBA.
Okay, that's the first one you got sick of.
I know, that's what I was thinking of. Okay, so also this other one is like I know it's not going to be a big discussion, but I brought it up one time because it came up last spring, and I was sent a whole lot of names, possibilities of changing the name of South Campus. Have any of you heard this from anyone? Okay. All right. So I heard that from Larry, and I got a lot of names and everything. I suggested that, you know, he contact you, and he hasn't. Okay. So then the idea would be that it would come at a work session, or else it would be said no way or whatever. But then I'm in the grocery store, and someone comes up to me and says, you know, they're thinking about changing the name of South Campus. And I'm thinking, nobody here has heard that. I've already heard that. And they made a suggestion that it be called the Larry Peterson Academy, you know, because Larry was there. Anyhow, so all I'm saying is that I'm hearing that from other people, but nobody else is hearing it.
Well, and the process for them to be an independent school, as we know from when a couple of years ago when Lynn was president, we spent our days in the summer working on that, and for them to be independent, they would have to be accredited and all kinds of things, and the superintendent would have to first approve it and give,
understand,
you know, those recommendations. So it's a big, well, big process.
But that's
well,
what
that
I'm not saying. Saying
there's two separate. One, what I understand is it's just the change of the name,
right,
of the building.
Right. Not, not
of its mission.
No.
Nor having it as a separate.
Nobody has said to me make it like a separate cash hire.
It's
or fast
just
forward
they would
or
like
anything.
To call it.
They just said instead
name.
Of calling it South Campus, call
a little
it
bit like
else.
It's a middle
but
school.
But again, that has
whatever
come from you.
Academy.
I have not had anybody who has.
That's right.
No one has officially come to me or unofficially come to me with that request, with the exception of Kirk Allen before he retired, stated it would be nice to be able to do that. It was a discussion point. He said that happened a long time ago. I don't know when that happened. It was prior to my coming.
Okay.
And then that was it.
So I'm going to say that I've heard this from Larry. He sent me some information. And so I would just officially say that Larry has asked about that.
But didn't we have conversation at this means. Last board meeting that we suggested Larry needs to contact Shane and run through?
Yeah,
well,
that was
nothing,
what we said last time.
And nothing,
yeah. And nothing has happened.
It's not a high priority right now. It's something that that can still come up as a discussion point, but it's not been on their radar to be able to do, and until it is, then it'll get on ours.
Well, the only thing I brought it up again is because somebody who's not even affiliated with the school system, you know, asked me, you know, about it. And so, you know, the last time I asked, nobody had heard about it. And the suggestion was, as you said, you know, to talk to you or talk to Shane. And so since it came up from out of nowhere, I thought maybe Christy was spreading those rumors again, you know.
I have had an email from Larry as well about it, but I haven't heard anything since the summertime about that. So, okay, Anne.
I attended when you went to the Utah School Board's regional meeting. I attended with Connie and Marshall the neighborhood meeting with the First South discussion. We had 26 people in attendance at that meeting. It was, people did comment that they liked, some liked that Marshall had gone door to door leaving things. Others said that they had not received information. What was so interesting is part of the discussion was how do we get information out, and many said they don't take the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Some said they don't have internet, they don't do the Facebook thing or whatever. And so one of the big challenges.
Nor do they listen to the radio.
Yeah, nor do they listen to the radio. It was interesting. I thought, oh my goodness, if you don't have any of these sources, how do you find out anything? Well, their good neighbors gave them information. But one of the things that was suggested, and I think we need to look at it in all of our neighborhoods, is that Logan City does have their system now that in neighborhood meetings people signed up, and I think we could work with, and those people said they would love to be notified through the Logan City information, you know, especially something like this where it is something that the schools that impact a neighborhood. So I think that's something we need to look at in the future, say when we're designing the hill, if the bond passes, when we're designing the Hillcrest or an Ellis, when we are, you know, any of those schools that, because it affects neighborhoods, I believe we could Logan City would not be adverse to us using their system that they really put a lot of work into, because it does affect neighborhoods and go through that neighborhood council system. I think that would be a really good way for us to get word out. And so we just need to remember that as we work with our partners at Logan City, that that's something we could probably do. I also attended city council meeting where a group of 20 neighbors came and spoke and expressed their concerns about closing First South, and were organized as a neighborhood. Holly told them that it was premature to take a vote on the issue, that first the bond must pass and the school district would need to come with a formal plan. At that point, a traffic study would be done, then a public hearing. Holly did ask how many people from the neighborhood were there, and 20 people stood. So it is an effort that is growing. And there was a petition and some comments, and I know Marshall has received part of that information. And so it's something that, you know, that one of the things that I said when I spoke, and Marshall did ask me to attend the meeting, and as I spoke, I said, we need to make sure that if you have concerns about closing First South, it's not, you know, if First South can't be closed, we're not going to build on to Logan High or redo Logan High. So I asked people there, please still vote for the bond and the levy, and a number expressed that they were for the bond and the levy, but were concerned about First South. So it is an issue. I knew from day one it was going to be a challenge as we work with neighbors and having neighbors feel good about what we do there. And I think Marshall is very aware of it and has met with some others, but it's something that we all need to be aware of. And I think it's similar to our Hillcrest neighbors who were concerned about which corner where you're going to put that building, that it's, you know, those are ideas. We don't have the final architectural plans. We will take input from neighbors, and we will try to come up with the very best design and plan. But I did mention the safety for students, that one of the reasons we looked at going onto our land to the north was because of safety for students, and mentioned to the city council that if we can't close it, we would like to get that crosswalk in the middle of the street. I also attended then, there was a neighborhood meeting, a neighborhood council meeting that I went to, and it was discussed when the Ellis neighborhood was discussed, and there was some good discussion there as well. And
was that the individual neighborhood council
leaders? Yeah, the neighborhood council leaders, and they followed the same rules that the city council does, and I was actually out of order when I responded on something, but it was a really small group there. But they go to each neighborhood, and each neighborhood talks about what are the issues that are happening. And that's a good meeting that I think we should try to have a representative at always. You know, and they meet how often, Amber?
They meet every month except for December.
So, you know, it would be nice if we could have somebody there. Just because questions, they're named after our schools, those neighborhoods are, and it would be nice to at least have somebody there so we know what goes on.
Can we find out when all the meetings are?
Do you have the dates and that? Could you get that to me?
Yeah, it's the third Thursday.
At what time?
5:30, isn't it?
5:30 when?
And in the council chambers?
Third Thursday.
There's a workshop room.
Okay. And they put a sign up with an arrow for it.
How long does it usually last?
Ideally, 7,
sometimes
it goes 6:30.
Between an hour and 2 hours.
But how do you know which area it is?
It's all of the council chairs. All of the neighborhood chairs are there. And
six
they discuss
chairs.
And they meet at what school?
They meet at the city council.
City council, okay.
So, and it's just, I think it would be well for us to have a representative there, because they do discuss, just as it's nice to have Amber here from the city, it would be nice to have somebody there just in case something were brought up. Then I left that with Holly Danes and the mayor, and we went to the Speaker of the House meeting, and Becky Lockhart had a meeting at the city offices, and we had our House of Representatives members there. Zane was there. I was there. Tammy Pfeiffer was there. Mm-hmm. It was interesting that she basically, when a county elementary counselor stood and talked about mental health services for children and that the funding had been ended on that, then she explained about the State Board of Education and a few things, and it's been something that she's talked about throughout the state. And it was very interesting because she said, and most of you don't even know who your State Board of Education representative is. And everybody said, yes, we do. And she said, who is it? And they said, she's right there, Tammy Pfeiffer. And she was impressed that we knew, that people knew who Tammy was. And she was talking about that the legislature micromanages too much, but basically said, if boards of education want counselors in the elementary, then they need to budget for that. And that it's a challenge the way the state, you could tell she's thinking that the State Board of Education should be elected in a different method. She also talked about how the governor had no input on education. So I think that kind of is indicative of where she's trying to lead the discussion in some of the legislation, though she says she will not be sponsoring any bills such as that. They did have each of the different representatives there talk about what bills they would be running, and Rhonda Menlove did say she will be running a bill about school grading because currently she feels that it discriminates against students with disabilities, and she will be doing something so that students with disabilities are not discriminated against with school grading. And that was an area where there was clapping from the people. So anyway, there have been some interesting meetings, and of course most of it happened during fall break, I do think us having a presence there is important, and our representatives were very aware that the three education people from Logan were sitting right there, and they referred to us several times, didn't they? They at least looked at us. So
Tammy's picture in the paper.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Ann. James?
Thank you. That's good.
I'm overwhelmed. Congratulations. Wait for all that work.
Oh, all of those meetings. Oh, one more thing. I do have the article about the father who dealt with the cyberbullying in a different matter. I do have that article, and I will leave it to put in our information.
Good. Thank you.
I read it and sent it out to friends. Yeah, it's very good.
Most of the concerns that I have been voiced, so I don't think there's any need for me to say anything.
All right. I have a few things. I did actually just to add a little bit different perspective about the First South issue, and I understand that our conversation really is premature to close the street because the bond has not passed yet, so I really don't want to dive too deeply into that, but I did have several residents from that area contact me voicing support. So I do know that there are people out there that are against closing First South, but I had someone that was very pretty prominent in the district, in this city, actually say, you know, they think it's a fantastic idea and they think it's completely irresponsible for us to not close First South. So there is a group of people out there that are for that. So I just want to let you know.
We're still in a situation where we'll know after November 5th, and we will have to start digging in and making sure whatever option we do, we need to make sure we are providing as much information to
everybody.
You know, if that's the direction that we go, that we have a firm foundation as the rationale, but we also need to make sure that we are looking at every single thing. We've done a lot of that, but we need to make sure, because we need to be good neighbors, and we need to make sure that we're not impacting negatively that whole area.
Absolutely.
I was so surprised, Christy, that that petition came out after, you know, when Ann and I were at the meeting, is because the architects and Marshall it was so specific about that traffic study and so specific that it was a proposal and that there had to be a study first of all and that all of those neighbors would be involved with that discussion. And
but it's a premature conversation to have because first of all we have to pass the bond. So that's our biggest focus, and that's what I told this person I talked to, is that we need to first focus on getting the bond passed, and then we can talk about those conversations and that we had, our intent would be to completely have conversations with that area. You know, certainly we don't want to blindside that neighborhood in any way. So I was just grateful that we had at least had someone that had some positive to that as well.
Madam President, may I make a comment?
Yes.
I'm a little concerned. I mean, I don't know where the bond and levy thing is. I mean, I keep talking to people.
That when I get to my section, I'll be glad.
Because I still talk to people, and they go, so what is the bond and levy about? And I'm going, okay, so we're still not, I just don't know where people stand on it. So hopefully.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, just a couple things. The foundation, I had my foundation meeting last week, and they are working on the dates for the upcoming golf tournament as well as the Dancing with the Stars repeat. So that'll be exciting, and I'll get you those dates as soon as we have that finalized. They are also looking at the... or what else we talked about, foundation. Anyway, I've forgot my foundation notes at home. But anyway, I do know they're working on the golf tournament and the Dancing with Stars. The other thing about USBA is Stacy, or we handed out you the information that we got from our legislative meeting, so just take a look at that. Martel did talk extensively about why the state office budget's a little bit different than what we've proposed as a joint legislative committee. So that was kind of interesting, and I really felt like that pretty much we're kind of on the same page, and hopefully we'll have a great outcome when it comes to legislation. We also talked about Master Board Award during the USBA meeting, and we want to make sure that we are definitely in line to get that finished, and December 1st is the due date. So we will add a little portion of Master Boards to our work session in November so that we can make sure we're all on track to get that finalized and done. As far as my USBA meeting, I also had that last week, and they are coming up with round 3 of that Master Board Award, so it'll be exciting to see what comes out. Anna, Connie, if you and Jim, please, if you would take a minute to look at the bylaws. They're rewriting the USBA bylaws. They haven't rewritten those for over 50 years, so they definitely have some changes, and if you would have a minute to look at those, you can go online and look at them, or Stacy made us a photocopy. If you have any changes or anything you'd like to add to that, I certainly would suggest doing that. That has to be done into Richard Still by November 1st.
Okay.
So please take a look at those if you want to. The other thing is they're going to start what they call the Legislative Army, which will be a group of, they're hoping one board member from each board that will be on this legislative army to really impact legislation for the next year. And I am not exactly sure the criteria for that, but I know that I'm not sure if you can be, I think they're trying to get new people on that committee, so I don't know if Ann and I will be eligible since we're on the JLC committee. So and I can't be on it, I know that, on the board of directors. So it might have to be one of our other three board members that serves on that legislative army. And during our board meetings in January, they will actually meet, that legislative army will meet together as a group, not like JLC, but how they can better implement legislation and better understanding of implementation of legislation. So if you're interested in doing that, we'll talk about that at a future work session. That information should be coming to the boards via the district soon, so watch for it. And it's been great being out in the schools. I've had great time visiting many, many schools lately, and it's been fun to be with them and to see the great things in action. Really enjoyed our visit to Bridger. That was fun, and to see the people or the students that read their essays today. That what a delight that is. So it's great. Everything's great. Marshall. Oh, Zane, sorry.
Just to let you know, the auditors are mostly done. And by our next work session, we might be able to spend some time on where we are with that. I don't really have anything else to report, but things are looking a little better. Let's put it that way.
Very good. Thank you very much, Zane. Marshall.
Okay. Process on the bond, I met with Todd today, who again is the chairperson for the promotional side and what they've done. You should, if it's not, I know I received mine today. We have sent out
in the mail
12,000, 13,000 brochures were sent out to all the addresses of all registered voters. That was after some gleaning because there were some that were duplicates. Obviously, we didn't only want one per household.
That's why it says all registered voters.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that has gone out. This has the majority of the information. On the promotional side, there's been a considerable amount of hits to that, considerable meaning over 100. Some are consistent, you know, kind of going back and checking, but there are some new ones that are continuing. The materials that you have in front of you are for you to, again, that's informational items to get out to constituents that you have around you to be able to do that. We've also sent out the remaining, we had about 1,200 left that we had printed. They've gone out to the schools for the schools to get them out. We have individuals, again, that a lead in each building as well as administrators to get them to community council members to get information out. This is kind of the second wave of those going and making sure that we have that communication. We are, on the promotional side, there are some items that Todd has targeted different areas. We still need to target, he stated today he needed to target some of the Adams area, but that's about the only area right now that he doesn't have somebody for. He was getting in contact with you on perhaps a volunteer they've done Cliffside, but they've not done the island.
No.
So, and he's also been in touch with some people in your neighborhood, so we have that. So in that respect, there has been a lot of movement, a lot of talking. People are talking about it, but again, knowledge out. When we talked at the meeting, it was surprising to me, and this wasn't a young group. I mean, there was a good mixture, but even those that I would have assumed would have had the traditional means of newspaper or the radio, they don't take them. And the only thing that they're getting, if anything, is information outside of Cache Valley. They're not using any inside of Cache Valley news agencies situations. That was a surprise to me. We have a group in terms of the Facebook. Again, that is out there. We don't know how to track hits just on the stuff for the bond on ours. We have lots of hits on our website all the time, but we can't attribute it just going to that portion of the site. Comments as we talk with individuals. I had two people in my office today, and we were talking about, you know, they're both very solidly for it and wondering how they can influence their neighbors, and so gave them some more materials and had, you know, for informational items and gave them Todd's name if they wanted to do some things on the promotional side. So it is quiet, but there are some things that will be coming on the promotional side in terms of ads in the paper. And again, all paid for outside of our budget. No district funds have gone into any promotional
except for
activities.
The informational. Yeah.
Informational only. So the major, what we've majorly done, and it was done strategically, is this brochure. This is the majority where our focus has been to get it into the hands of those that will actually be voting.
I have a question. As an individual board member, you know, as a board and as a school district, we can't be out there, do this for our kids. We're just, this is the information. But as an individual, is it okay for me to write a letter to the editor? If I am just Ann Geary, if I put that I'm a board member, is that wrong? So that's my question.
Okay.
What is my appropriate role?
Your role is, there are some areas that you have to be careful on.
Okay.
And if you go, let me just go into it very quickly. It's in state law in 20A, which is political subdivisions under the election code, chapter 11, section 1200. And I can share with you what that. Mainly, it is the entity itself, which means the school district. We are prohibited from expending any money towards to influence a ballot proposition. If you look, it's 20A-11-1203. Unless specifically required by law, a public entity may not make an expenditure from public funds for political purpose or to influence a ballot proposition. Number two, nothing in this chapter prohibits a public official, which is you, from speaking, campaigning, contributing personal money, or otherwise exercising the public's official individual First Amendment rights for political purposes.
So I, as a public official, could write a letter to the editor?
Yes.
And that would be fine? Can I? So I could refer to myself as a member of the board? Or do you prefer we not do that?
No, you're doing it as a private citizen.
Right. Could one of our teachers, because they are a
this
teacher,
is, they are not a public, they're not public.
So they're because not they're not a public official, we could have teachers write something in and say, I'm a teacher
let
at...
Let me finish up the seven areas so you can kind of get the whole perspective. Number three is nothing in this chapter prohibits a public entity, us as a district, from providing factual information, which we have, about a ballot proposition to the public, so long as the information grants equal access to both the opponents and proponents of the ballot proposition. Okay? Nothing in this chapter prohibits a public entity from the neutral encouragement of voters to vote. So we've done that. Nothing in this chapter prohibits a public entity from preparing information, analyzing the pros and cons of a ballot proposition when requested to do so by the public entity's governing body. You have given us that, and we've tried to do that in our information line, and we've kept that as informational. And try to answer the questions that you felt that the public had either asked you or you had been involved with in communication. Hence, the information in our
which tells them
ballot.
Their cost of it, so that's
correct.
Both sides.
Nothing in this chapter prohibits an elected official from campaigning or advocating for or against a ballot proposition, and a violation of this section does not invalidate or otherwise an otherwise valid election. So it's fairly clear. There are more constraints on myself in terms of where, because I have to be, if I'm in a public meeting, I can't say I'm taking this hat off and vote yes, though I want to. But that's something that I'm not able to do.
Marsha, how does that go in terms of like all the campaigning going on right now for different offices? Is that if I want to write a letter to the editor for a candidate, I'm Connie Morgan citizen, right? Okay.
That's right.
Then thank you.
That's right. Just it's within your legal right to do.
As a citizen.
As a citizen. You don't lose that right.
We have
so
5 minutes.
Those are the rules that you have.
5 minutes till we have to leave. Can you count?
So in terms of where we are with it, there is still a group out there that I'm not sure if they totally know. I don't know how to get them because all of the areas from Facebook to everything else that we have tried, web pages, it seems that there is a niche or a group that is not taking advantage of all of those areas. And I don't know how to do that other than the individual conversations, and they seem to be going out there, but that's one person at a time. We've not had anyone come in and be negative about it. They've asked great questions. The 100 South group was very, it was a good meeting. It was not adversarial. They had some good questions. They also had some fairly good suggestions and options to be able to possibly look at as well. So it's been a very, it's been positive in everything that we've talked about. So if you have ideas as to ways we can reach more people between now and the 5th, I would love to hear them.
I think we have to be present at every school function that involves the public between now and then, like the football game. We went to the choir concert at the high school, and I know the band concert, they mentioned it, but the choir concert did not, and I really should have got up there and said something because it was a captive audience. So I think whenever
encouraging
we're
people to vote.
To go vote, and here's the information. I mean, we don't have to get up and do a big, long spill, but we can say, you know, the election's
vote
coming up.
Election,
if you need information, and we could be at the gates handing out information about vote here. So I think that currently moving forward, we probably should get information to our public out at those events that the schools are holding. So
we had quite a few brochures that were picked up during elementary parent-teacher conferences, which was good. They were very prominent in their area, so that parents were able to see that. So that has been a plus.
Okay. Anything else, Marshall? All right. We have 4 minutes. All right. Calendar items. The only thing I know of really coming up quickly is we have our legislative lunch, which is on the 29th at noon at the Cache School District, which is a week from today. Everyone have that on their calendars?
Yes, I do.
And then we have our next board meeting is November the 12th. We'll start at 12 o'clock at South Campus, followed by our work session at 5 o'clock here. Anything else, Marshall?
Stacy, is there anything?
The other thing Stacy and I are working on is the Christmas party in December. So if you have any dates that are terrible, just please let me know right away, and we'll get that scheduled as best time we can. Okay. Anything else tonight for calendaring items? All right. We are now going to end this regular session, and I need a motion to go into closed session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of property.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
Okay, motion's been made by Lynn Hobbs. Do I have a second? Seconded by Ann Gary. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much for coming to our board meeting.
Stacy, what stays on? What's
who brought the caramel?